The following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome. It's 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, March 21st, 2021. And thanks for joining us for the Walking Dead online viewing party here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm host Casey Shapiro, and special thanks to our host and sponsor, NDB Media. Let's get them a little applause and thank you. There we go. Alrighty, as usual, tonight's show contains spoilers up through the last episode and possible content from any current AMC official promo materials. So typically we start this show about a half hour before the new episode airs live each week with recap from the previous episode and discussion of what is to come tonight. At 9 p.m. we'll go dark or mute and watch the new episode together, then give episode ratings from 1 to 10 and commentary during the commercial breaks. We will also give our listeners trivia on the show as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. And I'm also going to give some applause for Joan, who is here extra early this week to make sure I didn't have any technical drama like I did last week. I do have cable signal behaving itself again. And I'm double-checking and looking behind me to make sure I didn't jinx it. So thank you, Joan. Thank you, cable. Yay! Just going to make sure that I am coming through loud and clear. If I'm going to have to repeat myself, I don't want to go too far. Okay. Our show is spoiler and comic free. Please don't discuss either any spoilers or stuff from the comics in the chat room or on the air. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show that's presented. Welcome to Season 10, Episode 20. Tonight is the fourth of the special additional six episodes added to Season 10. Two more to go after this. There will be 22 episodes total for Season 10, ending on April 4th. Season 11 will be the last for Walking Dead Classic, and as of right now, it is expected to air in its traditional October season opener slot, so that'll be the beginning of Season 11, theoretically. And according to Rob Keyes, of Screen Rant, The Walking Dead Season 11 is a two-year season that concludes the main series. It is ostensibly starting up in the traditional October slot. No, I actually just said that, but okay. I can just take that sentence out because I said it right before I read this anyway. Okay. So, Fear Season 6 resumes on April 11th with Episode 8, The Door, and continues episodes 8 through 16, running to June 6th. See how Joan is doing. Oh, Joan could not hear me but has refreshed and can hear me now. Okay, that often is the case here where we get going and for some reason there's some kind of business that refreshing will fix. Thank God it's just that. World Beyond Season 2 is currently slated to air sometime in late 2021. We have no information as to when it begins, as of yet, other than in 2021. June 13th, 2021 would be the first potential slot for it to run, and with 10 episodes in Season 2, this would take us to August 15th. Another possible option is piggybacking with Fear, but I don't think that's likely. And if we go to August 15th, I'm actually going to do some math on the air live here real quick. June, July, August. Okay, so 15th. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th of September, 5, 6, 7, 8 to 3rd of October, 10th, 17th. If they did that from June 13th, then it would – well, no. Okay, if they would do it from August 15th, that would take us to October 17th and then Walking Dead Classic if they do it that way because they have 10 episodes. All right. Anyhow, that's what we definitely know for now, which is not necessarily all definite, but as I always do when I find stuff out, I'll let y'all know. And I speculate based on what seems to be going on and past habits. But I'll let you know what's confirmed versus what I'm guessing. All right. In 2022, there's a fourth series coming, a spinoff series fronted by Carol and Daryl. I saw the most ridiculous freaking thing on Reddit earlier tonight. Some guy speculating that the Carol and Daryl series, the fourth series, is a ruse, kind of like editions of the comics that they made up to fool us that they were not shutting off the comics. You know, they had made news noises about these additional editions of the comics, like three of them, that never existed. And then they just ended the show. Or no, not the show, the comics. They're speculating that this is a front because Carol and Daryl just had a giant fight. And we already know, because promos have announced it, that next week's episode is going to, at least in part, involve they're going their separate ways. In fact, it's, well, there may be some part of that tonight. No. I don't think we're going to get into it tonight. I think it's all going to be next week. But anyhow, they kind of split up, so it sort of makes you wonder how in the hell are they going to have a little road show with the two of them. But, you know, we shall see. In late 2022 or 23, not quite sure, there will be a fifth show, an episodic roadshow-style story, Tales of the Walking Dead. I'll spare you the giant long description. I've been reading it to you for 2 or 3 weeks now. All right. Call in to speak with the host at 914-338-0314 anytime tonight, but especially between 8:30 and 9 p.m., you're still welcome to call in during the live show, but you'll be screened and muted until the commercial break where we can talk freely on the air. If the phones are not your thing, join us in our live chat room where you'll be able to listen to the show real time and type stuff in the chat room and download the episode after the fact at that link. We usually post those on our Facebook page and sometimes on Twitter. I did remember to do that tonight. Yay for me. All right, let's see if, no, Joan does not have any further comments. I haven't really said anything that warrants it yet, but coming soon. So, tonight's episode is entitled Splinter. Official AMC synopsis is, Eugene, Ezekiel, Yumiko, and Princess are captured and separated by the mysterious troopers that surrounded them at the rail yard. Claustrophobic with mounting anxiety, Princess struggles with memories of her traumatic past and plans to escape. And I will give you one theory. It's not a spoiler because I have no idea what the truth is, but I will point out to you that I have receipts and evidence based on official pictures released. Eugene, Ezekiel, and Princess seem to be part of this plot line, and I don't see Yumiko. So I'm wondering if it's kind of like Terminus with Carol. You know, everybody else is in deep doo-doo, and somebody is wandering who didn't get caught. Not sure. That's my theory. As we often do, additional synopses. I managed to find some this week that are not huge honking spoilers. Thank you, BleedingCool.com, who's been one of our faithful, reliable sources in recent weeks. They put out some good, not spoilery, not ruiny reviews. So I will read that to you guys right now. And this was put out March 15th by Ray Fluke, who's their regular Walking Dead writer. And Ray entitles this, The Walking Dead Season 10, Episode 20, Splinter Preview, finds Princess processing. With AMC's The Walking Dead going 3 for 3 with the first half of Season 10C, viewers can look forward to an episode coming up this weekend that will start making sense of the weekly Season 11 teasers we've been getting about A New World Order. Directed by, I'm going to skip that because I tell you guys that later anyway. It says the director, says the writers, there too. The Walking Dead Splinter finds Eugene, Ezekiel, Yumiko, and Princess captured and separated by what we're going to go ahead and say is the Commonwealth. It's extremely obvious because even if you don't know anything about the comics, which I actually don't, there have been enough spoilers and official chatter and little trinkets left around that we're pretty sure that's what's going on. especially because they mentioned something about Charlestown, West Virginia, and not the one that's near me, but the other one that's all one word, which is further south. They're captured and separated by what I'm going to go ahead and say is the Commonwealth. Struggling with memories of her traumatic past, Princess looks for an escape with help from Ezekiel, but first it's a matter of getting free from where the soldiers are holding her. The videos. I actually think that is, yes, that is the last of text for that. And I'm going to make my token bitch from a resident of the D.C. metro area all of my life, native Washingtonian of all the generations, family here since D.C. was formed. Charlestown, one word, West Virginia, is not a hop, skip, and a jump from Pittsburgh. It's the other damn end of the state. And these guys were not driving a car. So the notion that they're at the South Charlestown and not the North Charlestown near me is somebody who doesn't understand the jam geography out here, or physics, or biology, people getting tired, wrote this without thinking about how things are actually connected. So that's my beef. If they happen to address that in the show somehow, I may forgive. Otherwise, you guys are getting a spanking from a local, okay? You need to not do that. Joan went out and came back in. The internet barfed on her. Yes, hopefully you're stable and can hang out. I did say some things just about Charlestown, West Virginia, and geography because it's screwing it up again. But let's move on to some fun things. It's 8:42, and I've got promos and profiles and trivia and all that stuff to give you guys. So, writers and directors profiles. Dun, dun, dun. Let's go ahead and throw some applause in there just because I feel like it. Tonight's episode is written by Vivian C. and Julia Ruckman, directed by Laura Belsey. Alrighty. Bios on these guys. Vivian C., San Francisco native, now based in New York City, minimalist style enthusiast, happily married, mommy to Aiden Chase, Zara addict, which is a fashion line apparently, obsessive about bags and shoes. She married her husband Y in September of 2016. Professionally, Vivian C. began her career working with Oscar-nominated producer Mark Gordon on a variety of films, including Emmy-nominated, this is the title, and I really should put quotes in that to make that more clear. I always get confused. And starring Pancho Villa as himself is the name of the film, as well as with Julie Taymor on Golden Globe-nominated Across the Universe. And I'm fixing that so I have a better understanding of how this title's go. All right, since 2003, Vivian has been miscellaneous crew for a few major films, notably The Day After Tomorrow and The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, both of which I kind of liked. She moved on to produce for National Geographic and program for the Tribeca Film Festival. Her short film, Preamble, was awarded the Silver Lei Award at the Honolulu Film Festival in 2009. Her feature script, Joe Boy, it's two words. Sorry, I'm adding quotes in here so I can tell what is the names of movies and shows because I did not have them in here before, and this is why I get stuck every time I do her bio, so I'm fixing that. All right, feature script Joe Boy was selected for the 2013 Nantucket Screenwriters Colony. I assume that's an award. I never really understood that entry. In spring 2014, she participated in the POV Hackathon with the Angola Project. Vivian was an executive story editor for Walking Dead for all of season 9. I did not see her listed for season 10. Including tonight, she has written 5 episodes of The Walking Dead, starting with Stradivarius, season 9, episode 7. That's the one where Eugene... No, I don't know if it was Eugene. The guy that was with Yumiko and all them who had the violin and it got broken. I can't remember who did it now. But anyhow, it's that episode. That was her first. And then she did Scars, Season 9, Episode 14, Morningstar, Season 10, Episode 11, which she also co-wrote with Julia Ruckman, who she co-wrote Tonight with, and What We Become, Season 10, Episode 13. All right, Joan has mentioned, she heard the geography thing I said. They won't correct it. They never do. I would be pleasantly shocked if they address it, but not holding my breath. I agree with you, and it always bothers me. You know, I understand this is fiction, and you take liberties with stuff. You know, I myself have actually done that. There's a book I had been working on in the zombie horror genre, and I started it a bazillion years ago, just in my defense. I just haven't had a chance to finish it. But anyhow, one of the things I did, I took a cue from Terry Pratchett and how he described something that was near my college, and I put some real locations in there that I actually knew about, but I did some different things with them on purpose because I don't want to encourage people to go and actually look at these locations because they're private property, actually. So I don't want people snooping around up there. Not that my story will ever be important enough where they will, but, you know, I'm just saying. Alrighty. So the next part is Julia Ruckman. And I have notes on this, and they have to do with stuff that she's doing. The Big Bounce. I never understood the reference, but it's on her bio. And FreshYarn.com, which is still active and where I got some of this bio from. All right. After graduating from Williams College, Julia Ruckman moved to New York to write television. Her first pilot went into development hell and a marginally well-known network. She followed that, quote, real-life industry experience with a few freelance writing jobs and then moved to Los Angeles against her better judgment. She still lives in L.A., where she battles road rage, meditates, and writes many, many television scripts, which are sure to win her Emmys one day. Maybe this will be one of them. Julia is currently writing a pilot. Oh, I don't know if it's currently anymore. I think this is old news. Currently writing a pilot for a producer trying to live up to the writing fellowship she was just awarded years ago and can be seen performing her stories at various reading series around town. She thanks you for reading this, Fresh Yarn for publishing it, and apologizes for writing about herself in the third person. Yes, I took that from her bio too, and I'm not going to sit and try to edit that. Julia has 5 writer's credits prior to Walking Dead, which are The Assistants, 2009, The Troop, 2009, Covert Affairs, 2013, American Odyssey, 2015, and The Sun, S-O-N, 2019. She has 3 director's credits prior to The Walking Dead, which are Covert Affairs, 2013, American Odyssey, 2015, and The Sun, 2019. So she did both. And actually looks like she might be doing that here too. Aside from The Walking Dead, Ruckman has 3 other producer's credits, Covert Affairs, American Odyssey, and The Sun. She has been a co-executive producer for all of Season 10 of The Walking Dead, and tonight is her 4th episode writing for the franchise, the first being Season 10, Episode 8, The World Before, the second being Season 10, Episode 11, Morningstar, and the third being Season 10, there's another Season 10 episode that was a couple episodes ago that she worked on, but I've lost which one it was. I'm so sorry, Julia. I'll have to go back and correct that. So I'll find that. Find episode. Writing myself a giant note, so the next time I do her bio, I will know to look that up. Apologies for that. All right. Checking in with Joan. We're good. It's 8:49. All right. Laura Belsey. We did her last week, but that's fine. She's one of 2 directors splitting most of the directing burden for these 6 mini episodes. All right, little is known about Belsey's personal life. Still, I have been trying to look without being a creeper, so I don't have a whole lot, and what I got was kind of hard to get and scraped up from different places. All right, I don't know why people don't put more bio stuff on like IMDb and whatever. All right, Belsey was born in New Orleans, although her Facebook profile says she's from Nyon, Switzerland. She attended College Voltaire, and I speak very rudimentary French, but I'm not sure how to say this. The Collège Voltaire, founded in 1914, is a school of the Canton of Geneva, Switzerland, post-compulsory school, parenthetically maturity school. From what I can tell, it amounts to the equivalent of U.S. high school. She then majored in film and comparative literature at NYU. She was born in 65 and currently lives in New York City, as does her younger sister, Catherine. Laura Belsey is a commercial, TV, and film writer, director, and producer, known for Arrow, 2012, The Flash, 2014, and The Walking Dead, 2010 is not when she started, but when it started. Other works, Preacher, Bull, Criminal Minds, Beyond Borders, Criminal Minds Classic, NCIS New Orleans, and Unforgettable. One of her earlier notable works is the 2008 political documentary Katrina's Children about younger flood survivors. She directed multiple episodes of Law & Order SVU, as well as serving as second unit director on Royal Pains. She's also directed hundreds of commercials and TV spots internationally for clients such as Swatch, Honda, IBM, IKEA, and more. Belsey has received over a dozen major advertising industry awards for her work, including a Cannes Gold Lion and one show Best of Show. And don't yell at me about how I pronounce the Swedish furniture store. That's actually correct, but nobody knows that in this country, and they make fun of us. All right. One of her TV spots is now in the permanent collection of the Museum of Modern Art. That's how cool her ads are. Belsey currently serves on the Directors Guild of America Eastern Directors Council, as an alternate on the DGA National Board, and as a partner at Shadow Pictures, a film company in New York. She has 22 director's credits in IMDb since 2004. The bulk of her non-indie work, starting in 2013 with Law & Order SVU. Tonight is Belsey's fifth episode directed, the first being Season 9, Episode 15, The Calm Before. Prior notes from this show had not listed her as director of her third episode, Season 10, Episode 15, The Tower. At the time that I posted it, the source I usually get these from had said that the director was Satro, and that may have been a placeholder or something. I'm not sure what the deal was. However, IMDb says that this new information is true, and this isn't the first time this source has had mix-ups. Tonight is her fifth episode directed. Belsey is also slated to direct Season 10, Episode 22, season finale. Here's Negan. All right, so applause for all these guys. Thanks for your work on the show. So let's jump ahead to trivia about tonight's episode. It's the 151st episode of The Walking Dead ever, and they actually didn't list any other trivia notes as of earlier today when I was writing this. That's fine. Yeah, usually these come from people who have access to the preview episode, or it could be AMC Plus people. I'm not sure. But anyhow, they don't have anything except co-stars tonight, Eric, E-R-I-K, Bellow, as examining trooper. And he has something to do with the group from Charlestown, West Virginia, the one where I'm complaining about the geography. No uncredited people. And trivia from last episode. Maze, who was Robert Patrick, you know, of Terminator fame, Maze and his brother, quote, are the second set of identical twins encountered in the TV series, the first being Hilda and Midge, who were the people in Georgie's group. This was the first and last appearance of Maze, Mr. Maze, his twin, Mrs. Maze, twin's wife, well, and also daughter, which they didn't mention. That is also true. The title of the episode, One More, refers to Aaron's comment to Gabriel when they decide to go look at the water tower when Aaron states, One More. This is the seventh episode to feature only two main cast members after Still, The Grove, Slabtown, The Well, Bury Me Here, and Find Me. This is the first episode in this season where Daryl Dixon does not appear. This is also the first episode he did appear in since The Lost and the Plunderers. The Dwayne Jones bourbon sold for $2,000 a bottle, similar to the real-life Pappy Van Winkle's. The name could be a reference to Dwayne Jones being the character who is Morgan's son, or the real-life actor Dwayne Jones for whom he was named. And that actor is Ben, the lead in Night of the Living Dead original, an obvious Romero slash Russo homage. All right, Robert Patrick and Barbara Hooper are the first real-life couple to portray a couple in the TV series, in this case, Mr. Mays and Mrs. Mays, being the brother and brother's wife. Robert Patrick also portrayed both Mays and his brother, and thus the first actor to portray two separate characters on screen, because the twins with Georgie were actually two separate actors. They were not the twins that are identical. It says they're identical twins, but they weren't. All right, Andrew Lincoln was the first one to do so, as he played both Rick Grimes and a radio broadcaster. I actually never caught this before in the episode What Happened and What's Going On, but the later was only a voiceover. There are no co-stars listed for last week. And uncredited, and there's where we see the wife, Barbara Hooper as Mrs. Mays. She's shown in a photograph and as a corpse. I have explanations for these because they were in the notes. Trivia, Mays explains that he was surviving the outbreak with his brother's wife, and their daughter. When he caught his brother stealing from him, he claimed he, quote, handled the situation. After Mays' death, the captured brother is found in the attic of the warehouse along with the skeletal corpses of Mrs. Mays and her daughter. It's implied that she was killed in a game of Russian roulette set up by Mays, and at some point during the game, she died. It is heavily implied she was killed by her husband due to the bullet hole being in the front of her forehead. According to showrunner Angela Kang, in a behind-the-scenes feature on AMC+, Mays' nameless brother likely killed his own wife and child so he could live. As a result, Mays chained him up to live with his decision. Also uncredited, unknown toddler girl actor as Mays' niece, and she appears as a photograph and corpse. In the picture that Mays has of his family, it shows her to be a toddler. However, when her corpse is shown, she has clearly grown, meaning that she died sometime in the 10-year span since the apocalypse has begun. All right, I'm checking in with Joan. Nothing going on. It's 8:58. We'll go ahead and start this. It's the deaths from last week. First up, Tommy Franklin. Explanation. Nothing is known about Tommy's life prior to the outbreak except that he battled cancer before succumbing to the illness. And I may have to interrupt this in the middle. We'll see. A funeral was held for him in which Father Gabriel and Reverend George resided over. It should say presided. I don't know why I didn't type it right. Before comforting Tommy's father at the reception afterwards. In the episode One More, Gabriel tells a story of a time before the apocalypse where he talks about Mr. Franklin's son, Tommy. His son battled cancer before succumbing to the disease, and a funeral was held for Tommy in which Reverend George gave a moving speech. Afterwards, Father Gabriel and Reverend George attended the reception where they joined Mr. Franklin in drinking some whiskey in hoping of getting his mind off the tragic loss of his son. Other than attending the same seminary as Father Gabriel, nothing else is known about Reverend George's life. And with that, I'm going to pause here, and we'll read the other stuff at commercial break number one. All right, you guys, get ready. I've got cable and a remote, and I know how to use it. So thank you for joining us. Going dark, see you at break number one. Thank you. Okay, guys, it's 9:03, and we are actually at break number one already. That was a bit short and a bit busy. So, all right, I am going to rate this opening 5 to 5. Not a whole lot, honestly, has happened quite yet that we didn't already see last time that we saw these guys, but I just wanted to make the point that it is a decent opener, so... All right, now Joan is close to me. She's at 5.5. I'm at 5.25. She's like, I love our characters, but already want to see the stormtroopers die. Yeah, pretty much. That's exactly where I am. Alrighty. So while we're on break, let's continue the trivia with the deaths. So we got the first one, Tommy Franklin. Obviously was a way to set up the whole drinking game thing. Mr. Mays, the twin brother. Yeah, well, first off, it says Mays, Robert Patrick, killed by Gabriel Stokes when he unties Aaron and introduces himself. His head is smashed in by Gabriel. That was a bit disturbing. Mr. Mays, twin brother. During Gabriel and Aaron's game of Russian roulette, Mays reveals that even after saving Mr. Mays and his family countless times, he caught his brother stealing the last of his food and that he was dealt with. After finding Mays' hideout, Gabriel and Aaron find Mr. Mays chained up. He reveals to the two that at some point, Mays made him and his family play the game. When Gabriel goes to unlock him, he snatches the gun from him, being the brother. Gabe and Aaron attempt to talk him down, and Mr. Mays has one last look at his family's corpses before killing himself. Mrs. Mays, obviously dead. Mays' niece is dead. And at some point in the show, a boar was dead. No goofs, errors, and bloopers listed for last week's episode. Keeping track if we're back, and we are not, but probably soon. Cast birthdays this week, but this is a trailer for something, which means we're going to be back in a minute. So I might hold off on the birthdays, unless Gangs of London. If we go back, we are back. Okay, I was good to hold it. I'll give you guys the birthdays of break number two. Thank you. Okay, it's 9:15, and we are at break number two. Let's go ahead and get those scores. I'm going to go up to 5. You know, I'm going to give it 5.75. That was pretty good. Oh, Jones, right along with me. Okay. This often happens. Honestly, we do vote for ourselves, but Joan and I seem to look at a lot of these scenes in a similar manner, which is why I enjoy talking with her about them in the breaks. All right, so we had a little commentary about what's going on with Princess. They do allude multiple times in the descriptions of the episode that this is very triggery for Princess because of stuff in her past. Joan has mentioned, I was pointing out that at one point Princess was naming the capitals of the states, and that was kind of to keep her mind off freaking out. But she was also counting with using her feet to count across the measuring of the car that she's stuck in, you know, the train car. And it may be actually seeing how big it is, but that may be like the capitals of the states. It's a stress thing. We know that this has something to do with abuse in Princess's past, and Joan thinks she may have been locked up before and she's about to lose her shit. And Joan also feels that she may have latched onto Yumiko in specific because Yumiko was willing to give her a chance. Joan had also cautioned that saying too much more about that thought was veering dangerously into comic spoilers, so we didn't pursue that part. So we're both at 5.75. It's 9:17, and let me go back to the notes. All right, so cast birthdays this week. Sonequa gets it twice because she's on today, so she gets to read it twice. Sonequa Martin Green, who plays Sasha, played March 21st. She's from Russellville, Alabama. Russ Blackwell, who played Donnie and was one of the saviors, March 23rd from Rockford, Illinois. Keisha Castle Hughes, who played Joan, a Grady patient, March 24th, and she's from Donnybrook, Australia. She's half Maori and half Pākehā, which is European New Zealander. And I really only brought that up because I find it interesting. I didn't know anything about that before, so I've learned something new. Kaylee Presley Fleming, she's so adorable. I want to adopt her. Older Judith Grimes, March 25th, and she's from, I don't know how to say this, P-I-C-A-Y-U-N-E, Mississippi. Picayune, but I have a feeling it's one of those ones that has a weird pronunciation that I ought to know, and I don't. All right, they're doing a thing on fear. Okay, no, so now we're into Marvel, the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And the last birthday, Rich Ceraulo. Oh, God. C-E-R-A-U-L-O. He was Jiro, the Savior Lieutenant, March 27th, New York City. So let's give them some birthday applause. Thank you guys for working up. All righty. So after that, I have notes for featured music. As with last week, they did not find anything that they wrote down. Not doing the unaccounted for characters. I actually am breezing through this pretty fast, so I may not have much more to talk about in between. So hopefully Joni can help me out here with stuff to talk about. With the Bear and the Eagle and the Sorrento, I'm waiting to see if the commercial continues or whether we go back, because I do have the Talking Dead couch, and we are back, so I'll do that at break number three. Thank you. .926, and we're at break number three, and we get those scores up. I'm going up to 6.25, how I'm kind of feeling. Oh, I actually went past Joe Jones at 6. That's okay. It's all good. Yeah, Jonah's mentioned these guys that were interrogating Princess just now. These pricks need to be brought down a notch or 10. And she's like, she's being a bitch. Yes, there is a special place in hell for these men. And I have to say something about the genre in general. I'm getting really kind of tired of incel of the week, if you know what I'm saying. You know, I do recognize that that kind of personality, frankly, is more likely to survive in a situation like this, and that's unfortunate. And that's one interesting thing about this genre in general, is poking at that notion. Because remember what Daryl said to Beth one time, you know, the only people that would have lasted this long are the assholes and the people the assholes protect. And nobody else would have made it by now. And I'm not sure he's wrong, which makes it kind of interesting who we still have left here. 927... I'll try to see. I don't have a lot of notes left, but I'll see what I can go over. Talking Dead on the couch tonight is Paola Lazzaro, and I don't say it with the fun accent, so I apologize for my butchered American version. It's the actor that plays Princess, and Kerry Payton, who plays King Ezekiel. Walking Dead writer and supervising producer Vivian C., and superfan comedian Ron Funches, like Bunches, host of Chopped 420 on Discovery Plus. And that's a commercial still, I think. Yes. Okay, but we're probably going back in a minute because it looks like a trailer for something bizarre. I have we have another commercial real quick. So what's left of season 10, 152 episode ever, Episode 21, Diverged. That's going to be the one where Carol and Daryl split ways. Writer is Heather Belson. Director is David Boyd. And that'll air next weekend, March 28th. And the season finale, 153/22, here's Negan. Writer is David Leslie Johnson. And director is Laura Belsey. And that'll be April 4th. And then I'm not sure what happens after April 4th. I believe Fear is coming. I do have the notes for the back half of Fear. We're still in a commercial, so I might get to that. The back half of season 6 of Fear, starting a little off whack with episode 8 rather than 9, because that's the same problem that Walking Dead Classic did of being under production when they had to stop. Picks up right where the 6 extras end, starting April 11th. It appears possible that episodes 12 through 16 haven't been completed yet, and as such, treat these dates as tentative until I hear otherwise. We have a Blue Moon commercial, so I'm going to tell you what I do know. Episode 77 of Fear Ever. Season 6, Episode 8 is called The Door. It's the only one left that I have a title for. We do not know the writer. The directors are Ian Goldberg and Andrew Chambliss, who Joan and I are not super fond of. But that starts April 11th. We are still in commercial, so I'll try to keep going. 78/9. We know the director, Nick Bernadoni, April 18th. 79/10, director's Channing Powell, April 25th. And if there is a God, he will have to beg for my forgiveness. The final season begins summer 2021. Interesting. I wonder if we are going to go into season 11 after Fear wraps, which is going to be June 6th. We're probably getting ready to go back, so I'll hold off. Yep, we are. See you guys at break number 4. We're at break number 4, and Kevin Bacon is in his pool doing a Verizon commercial, and I am laughing. Oh, he's got to lose the mustache, sweetie. It's not good. Joan earlier said that I think Daryl got it right. I hope we're just not about to find another sanctuary type place. And I said, I don't think so. I think they are something linked to CRM, you know, the helicopter people. And of course, Joan is not going to tell me, and I'm not going to ask because she might actually know. Anyhow, she's going up to 675, and I think I will join her. Joan also mentioned, regarding how Princess is acting, typical survivor of abuse behavior. Princess keeps trying to apologize when she's not the one that wanted to go to this place in the first place. And Joan says, kind of missing Shiva right about, yes, I know. Could you imagine how all this would go down if Shiva was still here? She says, I would pay to see that tiger rip into these stormtrooper freaks. Yes, exactly. All right, let me go back. 9:39, so I do have notes on the rest of Fear. I know we're salty with them, but at least let's see what the schedule's doing at the minimum here. So episode 80/11 of Fear Season 6. The directors are Ashley Cardiff and David Johnson, and they probably mean David Leslie Johnson, which is interesting. I can't remember that he's directed before. Because he's a writer for Walking Dead Classic. He's worked on both shows. Not too many of the writers have. Now that's May 2nd. Episode 81/12, we don't know anything. It's May 9th. 82/13, Aisha Tyler is directing the 13th episode. That's May 16th. 83/14 is the 23rd. 84/15 is the 30th. And 85/16 is June 6th. And then we don't know. We're kind of flying blind. Other shows coming up on NDB Media, I want to go ahead and give you those while we're on break. So Monday Night in America with Roger Noriega tomorrow. This will be the 22nd at 10 p.m. Roger Noriega brings you his unique take on politics, current events, entertainment, sci-fi, and history, which is currently being hosted on StreamYard. So I don't have a link posted for that, but it should be on NDB's page. Fandom Access Week in Review, that will be Tuesday the 23rd, 11 p.m., no, not 11 p.m., excuse me, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Join the elegant entertainment of Jamie, Karen, and AJ as they discuss another night of TV. I don't have a list of what shows they'll be doing. The Rock and Roll Shrink will be at the end of the month, Wednesday the 31st at 11 p.m., join me and Atlanta psychologist Dr. Stephen Mathis, PsyD, that's a degree, a.k.a. the Rock and Roll Shrink, as we discuss matters of mental health and mental health. Our topic will be not the autism spectrum. I need to find the new topic for you guys. I don't have it yet. It's in an email. Sorry about that. Travel Itch Radio, that'll be the 25th, 8 p.m., founded in 1934, shortly after the repeal of Prohibition, Wine Institute membership has increased from 42 wineries to more than 1,000 today. At the same time, California has become America's leading wine-growing state, exporting product worth almost $1.5 billion in 2018. Learn all about California wine and wineries when Wine Institute's Nancy White visits Travelitz Radio. Dan Schlossberg and Mary Ellen Nugent Lee interview Nancy about the state's wine industry and the state of winemaking elsewhere in the country and the world. All righty, so that is that, and that is the end of my notes. It's 9:42. We're going to go back in a minute, which will be fine, and then we can kind of see what's going on here with everybody. And we are back. I'll see you guys at break number five. All right, guys, we are back, and it's break number five, I think, 9:47, and I'm going to go to – I'm debating if I want to go to 7. I kind of don't. It's, you know, things are good, but I'm getting a little tired of asshole being a plot line. Joan is actually at 7, and that's fine. I'm staying at 6, 7, 5 for myself. And Joan is not sure she agrees with me that they're related to the CRM. You know, that may be possible, but it kind of seems like in the Mid-Atlantic region in general, if you have something this organized, you are connected to CRM, because I don't really know how any of this would be possible to happen without that. But here we are. So, wait a minute. Joan, I am confused how you're confused. What do you mean, was Ezekiel even there? Are you saying that Princess was hallucinating him coming in? Which I find a little weird, because he was with them. I don't think she would have been strong enough to do any of this without somebody else also there. I'm not sure. I think that's what you're trying to tell me, that this was a hallucination on her part somehow. I'm not really sure about that, but we'll see. All right, we're in a Wendy's commercial, so killing a little time. Joan, if you get a chance, if you can explain what you meant by that, I'm a little lost. Here's Talking Dead. I did tell you he's going to be on. Chris Hardwick is here to tell you the same thing. Jonas said, at the end of that segment, Princess stood up and she was the one bloodied from beating on that guy. She agrees with me that she's not that strong, but where did he go? It is very strange, and that's a, you know, that's a good observation. Boston, 1993. All right, this must be another... Oh, Showtime original series. Okay. So it's got Kevin Bacon in it. Seems to be a movie. Aldous Hodge, who I don't know very well. So I'm not sure what this is about because I have it on mute, obviously. City on a Hill. Oh, apparently it is a TV show. And that's on Showtime streaming. All right. Okay. It's an M&M's commercial, and I'm not sure what's happening. Okay. You know, so I agree with Joan, and I guess in this last little segment we'll get some answers on that. It does seem kind of strange how all of a sudden Ezekiel's not there and Princess has bloody hands. And given how much they've been poking her and traumatizing her, I suppose it's not out of the realm of possibility. I mean, she is a pretty good fighter. So I actually had kind of hoped Ezekiel was going to grab the uniform and put it on, but then if he was a hallucination the whole time, that would explain why he didn't. Although technically at this point she could, but she would probably have to do something to the guy, and after what's going on right now, I don't think that she's up for it. All right. Joan, do you have any further thoughts before we go back? I'm actually kind of just killing a little time because I've gone through all of my notes and it's 9:50, so we still have a little chunk here. And the Chrysler Pacifica hybrid car commercial is kind of boring me to tears, to be honest. Okay, here's another trailer thing for Fear stuff. And Fear's going to have another Negan Season 7 Walking Dead moment, you know, where they've got a bunch of people lined up and somebody's going to randomly kill somebody. Looks like Virginia. And that's really bizarre because it looks like there's a living plant in there. Yeah, returns April 11th, so we're definitely sure about that part. All right, and we're back. All righty, see you guys at the end. Okay, guys, I went right into Talking Dead, so I'm going to go ahead and let you guys go. Thank you for joining us. Thank you always for all of your help, Joan. And we will see you guys next week. And that's it. Have fun.